don't you love him? We are the richest people in the whole world to have what we have in our souls, because we have riches that cannot be taken away from us. Let's go to him in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, how beautiful you are. How precious it is to meet with you, to feel your presence. And we know even if we don't feel it, it doesn't make any difference. Your presence is always there with us. And by faith, we can connect. So even now, let us put aside all things except the faith that is from you, that we might reach out and touch you, so that in turn you would reach down and touch us, that there would be a connection between father and child, that a love affair, an opening, a revelation, a drawing nearer, taking another step, a strengthening, all of these things, Father. We're here, still in this day, wondering why sometimes, but knowing if we settle back and into you, you work everything perfectly. There's not one jot, one tittle of your word that will not be perfectly fulfilled, and even in us. So we rest there. We rest in your sovereignty. We rest in who you are. We rest in your word. We rest in your love. We rest in your grace. We rest in your mercies that are new to us, even this morning, Father. Now bless us with you. We ask it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thanks. You may be seated. I'm sorry, Sister Dahlia and Juan Noaki is back. It's hurting very bad this morning, so we're going to have a baptism this afternoon, and at your mom's house. And would you put her address on Grace Ministries? Yeah. Signal? Thank you. Appreciate that. And, you know, I love to see the body of Christ working. So, Virginia, is Ann your cousin? And the Lord's been dealing with Ann and opening the word to her, and she's so excited and hungry for more. And which one of you have talked to Ann? But, you know, the main feeding of the word came through her cousin Virginia and Brother Daniel. And, you know, don't you love the body of Christ?
Amen.
He does everything perfectly, and I love to see that. So God be praised for another soul. And you have a promise with that, dear sister, because the promise is to them that are as far off as many as the Lord shall call, baptize you in his spirit, immerse you. Don't you love that? Immersing us in him, in his spirit. How beautiful. Well, I've been going through some very interesting spiritual experiences myself. With understanding why he had me into wisdom. So he told me, and we had a sermon, and we're going to go back to that because we never finished it. May. And when you're week by week waiting on the Lord, and just waiting to hear from him. And sometimes you're expecting answers that don't come. And we all know how that is. But he kept telling me, keep going. And so then he was directing me to the message, Third Exodus. I have never had such a time trying to understand this. And I've been on here, I think, day after day, and every time it's on my desk, it's in my briefcase if I travel. It's always there. I try to pick something else up, and he says, no, this. You've had times like that where he just directs you to a certain thing. And so I'd open it up and, okay, Lord, I know you're doing this for a purpose. Open it up to me. And all of a sudden, it would start to open up, and then it would fade away. Then it would start to open up, then it would fade away. Then it comes and it goes. So just recently, he's starting to put things together. But you have to wait on him. And he will do it in his time and not on my time or your time or when we want it, but when he knows exactly what he's doing and how he wants to do it, and he does it perfectly, all right? So I know my walk is that way, and I want you to know that I am up here every single week waiting on him, taking a step, and I can't see past that. Years and years ago, I think none of you were there, Brother Greg's dad, Al, organized a camp meeting up north, and he invited a certain pastor from down south to come preach, and it was sort of the opening of the understanding of, quote unquote, the word parousia, which was about as welcome as a skunk at a garden party, and that had a bad connotation to it that would shut people's mind to the truth of what was there instead of looking to see the beauty that was there. And after a couple of services, most of the people left. And there was a certain sister there, Brother Greg, you'll remember. And we had a dinner at this camp, and she just glared at me and wouldn't eat, sat sitting right across the table from me, but she had to make sure that I knew her extreme displeasure and disgust with me. And finally, she wouldn't talk to me for weeks. Finally, I said, what in the world is going on? She said, you had all of that down and you didn't tell us. And you knew this all the time. And I said, you have to understand, my walk with the Lord unfolds honestly and truly week by week. And he's always unfolding more of himself, always folding more of his word. And I can't see 1 week ahead, 2 weeks ahead, 3 weeks. As you know, it's like Brother Branham talks about the man with the lantern, you know. Okay, he doesn't give you a flashlight, right? He gives you a lantern. And with that lantern, you can see this much around you. Okay? And then until you take that step, that lantern won't move. And I have learned, like Brother Branham preaching Job on the ash heap, if I take one step but I don't see you taking that step, I have to stay there in that step. So sometimes I'll take these sermons and regurgitate them and bring them around and bring them from a different angle. Until I hear it coming from you or see it coming from you, then I know it's caught because it's not me, it's him. Yeah. But we all know that until he sees us taking a step, you're not going to move. Okay? You're just going to stay right where you're at. And somehow he's waiting for you. I see this, I like it, I love it, I'll embrace it, I'll take it in, I'll speak it, I'll think it, I'll let it be manifest. Okay, I'll show you some more now. And my life has been that way. My ministry has been that way. As it unfolds, I see a pattern of what he's done, but I couldn't have planned that in a million years, nor thought that through, because it has to be him. Now, that last week, we were looking at purity and holiness, and we were looking at the fact that what he does is holy because it's him doing it, okay? And he joys in what he creates, Isaiah 65. And then if he does it, it's done perfectly, okay? And then what he does, he inhabits, he comes down himself, he occupies, he's glorified in it, but if any man does it, it's a total perversion. So all these things is a big lesson for every one of us in our walk to learn patience and to walk with him. And if he doesn't want to show you something for 25 years, that's his prerogative. I've waited 25 years for answers on things. That's fine. When it came, when he showed it to me, it was perfect. Perfect timing. And you get what you expect, so expect. But then he says, you have need of patience. And patience, I think, what do we all like less than waiting? Husbands, waiting for your wives. I've been waiting for 10 minutes, come out of the store, get, you know, I've been waiting in the car and you're not ready yet. You know how that goes. It's irritating, isn't it, to wait? In everything in this life, everything in this environment around us gears us to not wait. You know, that is this world. So, but I'll tell you what, Proverbs 8:34, blessed is the man that waits daily at my gates, that waits at the post of my door listening for me. And that is one of my scriptures. It's around me. It's constantly with me. So if you wait on him, you're going to be blessed. And the whole world hates waiting. But, you know, it's the best thing we can learn, right? All right. So I want to get back, what he does, he has to do, and what he does in his wisdom, right? So Proverbs 23, I believe it was, is where we started last week. Let's go there again. Nope, 24. 24, verse 3. Would you stand with me, please? Okay. Through wisdom is a house builded, and then by understanding it is established. So his house he is building through wisdom, and we know that. Now we go to Psalm 127 again. Because this is critical for us at this day, at this time. Remember the message. Spoken word is the original seed. Part two. One of his main things that he repeats over and over and over is Eve couldn't wait. Speaking of waiting on the Lord. Remember that? Over and over he brings that up. And he says, Eve is now a type of the churches, and they can't wait for the Spirit of God. They don't know how to wait on God. And so because they can't wait, they have to do something themselves. And when we do anything in our own without him, he says, go ahead. It's like I always say, what can you do without the Lord? And I keep telling you, anything you want, the whole world does. But not his children. So Psalm 127, verse 1, except the Lord build a house, They labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It has to be him. Thanks. You may be seated. So we're going to be going into the, I want to hit a couple things on wisdom, then we're going to be going into the temple. But as we do, we're looking at the tabernacle, we're looking at the temple, we're looking at instructions, but that's not my point. It's remember what God told Moses, build this according to what I showed you in the mount. Hebrews chapter 8 says all of these things are a pattern for heavenly. So we're not looking at this time at earthly things. We can't. And finally, that's one of his main messages. In the third Exodus, it's just, we have to turn a corner. He's been trying to get the people to turn a corner since 1963. If you look at those 63 messages, when he says the Bible became a new book, and look at the pattern of what he is bringing, what the Holy Spirit is bringing to us, in those 63 messages, it's phenomenal. The whole focus of everything he changed into where God wants to take us. And I don't think they ever caught on. And we're just catching on now. So say that was 63. Look back. No, it's a 63. And that message is really destined for the people of this day. Yeah. Yeah. Where that power of transformation is taking place. Okay? So here we go. Back to wisdom. And I want, again, I'm going to just review some verses here because I think they're critical for our understanding. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. And back in May, this is what I used for a text. Okay. And we're verse 9 and 10. For this cause also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. Okay. Well, there's so much there, but I don't want to concentrate. I got to get to my point. Do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in wisdom. Yeah. Now, you can have knowledge without wisdom, right? So your knowledge is without the Holy Spirit. And knowledge without the Holy Spirit is destructive. Okay, because the letter kills, and it is the Spirit that gives life. But he's praying for the people. He says, I do not cease to pray. In other words, this is a pretty important point. If he doesn't cease to pray, I'm going to pray till I see this in you. Okay, I'm going to do not cease to pray and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, not the knowledge of just the word. There's a big difference there. The knowledge of what? And Brother Branham says his word is his will. But if you have the knowledge of his will, then you know out of that word what word is working in you to do what he wants done. You with me? So there's a big difference in just theology. And that's why Brother Branham says you can study this word all day for years and go to cemetery and get your DDLDs and really be a cemetery because you're spiritually dead. You know the knowledge, but you don't know the knowledge of his will. And you don't have the wisdom to give you that knowledge of his will. And what kind of understanding? Okay. Now, if you have this, because this is necessary, verse 10, read it out loud, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge. Okay. So you're walking. Has to be pleasing. Now, who does that, in all honesty, outside of the bride of Jesus Christ? Oh, I'm walking with the Lord. Oh, I have a relationship with Jesus, but according to Revelation, according to the light of the hour. But is it pleasing? And that's the main thing. Unto all pleasing. What's the last phrase again? And what? Okay, you're not going to be stationary. Something's moving, something's added, something's always growing inside of you, taking you to a different place than you were the day before. You with me? This wisdom of God is so critical that Paul had to pray for this to be in the church so that these saints could be what God wanted them to be, pleasing him, but always in a state that they're growing and not becoming stagnant. There you go. You understand? That's why we're here. That's why we're back to wisdom again, because this is what he's doing. Okay. Now, back to 1 Corinthians, and then we're going to chapter 2, where we spend a lot of time. But there's so much there. Verses 1 through 13. And I, brethren, when I came to you, not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So if he's going to know Jesus Christ and him crucified, there's something working, there's something happening. Okay, and it's happening in the people, and it's not with man's wisdom. Okay, wisdom versus faith. He's talking about man's wisdom, not God's. Man's wisdom is death, God's wisdom is life. Man's wisdom is stagnation and learning facts and figures and points, and okay, I know more than you do, I'm better than you. God's wisdom is something that works and increases and changes and builds into his image. You with me?
Yeah.
Okay. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the and of power. Now, that's where we stop. Brother Branham quotes this so many times, and the people always stop. Okay, we don't want man's wisdom. We want power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, and I can jump around the room and say I got the Holy Ghost. And now I can shout, and if my face turns purple, I got the anointing. Your face can turn purple and have a false anointing, and it might be the genuine anointing of the Holy Ghost and totally false because you're totally off the word of what he wants you to do, right? So it's this world. Okay. That your faith, verse 5, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, and this is where everybody quits. Okay, and here's where we've been, and the lantern has stopped. So I want to get the lantern going again. Let's take another step, brothers and sisters. Howbeit we speak the wisdom, okay, we speak wisdom, God's wisdom, among them who can receive it. And there's very few that can receive it. Them that are what? There, now that takes you to Hebrews chapter 12 again, okay, verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever, done deal, the blood of Jesus Christ. And what is the, how do I know I'm under that blood? The next few verses tell us he's writing his word in his heart. How do you know you're under the blood? Hey, I would love to do a Bible study with all the young people that the word is the blood And I don't think you can really understand this message until you see that scripturally. Because all of the denominations, I'm under the blood, I'm under the blood, I'm under the blood. Okay, where's the word? Who needs it? I go to church, okay? But unless you have that revelation that the word is the blood, you're totally missing it. Because he goes on in the next few verses that are so critical, and that's why I love the book of Hebrews more than any. It's my favorite book, even more than Romans. Okay? Nowhere else does he give you the things in Hebrews that he does in other places. It's just an incredible book. So that's where he says, therefore he said, okay, I will make a new covenant in my blood. Okay? New covenant in my blood. Jesus said, this blood is the new covenant. What's he said? I will write my laws in your minds and in your hearts. And then right after that, he says, I will remember your sins no more. Yeah. Why there? Find that in a church. Find that in a denomination. No, you come, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Okay, you're saved. You're done. Why don't they take him to the Word of God? Why don't they show them that the blood is the Word of God and that the new covenant of that blood writes that whole Bible inside your mind and inside your heart? And if that's not happened, you're really not under the covenant of the blood of Jesus. It's false. And they will be judged for it. Absolutely judged with hailstones weighing 100 talents. Because Brother Branham says this is so deceptive, this age, is that they think they're saved when they're not. Well, I went to church. I went forward. I made a decision. Okay, how about the rest of the word? When did he start writing that word inside your mind and in your heart? And why does it say there and their sins there? I will remember their sins no more. Why there? Why doesn't it say, oh, accept Jesus as your personal Savior and I will remember your sins no more? Why does Hebrew take you there that no other book does? I believe Hebrews is the book of the bride. That's just me. It's so much there, so much riches. So here, he's telling these people in the Corinthians, I'm not speaking the wisdom of man, I'm speaking the wisdom of God, and the wisdom of God is demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost, but with a word attached to it that's going to work inside your heart, and write that word, write it in my mind, write it in my heart, and make me a new creation, and keep changing me and working in me to make me him. Yes. You with me? We speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that came to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a what? Okay, so the wisdom of God is different than the wisdom of man. The wisdom of man will give you a bunch of facts and figures and knowledge and say, here, do this and memorize that verse and you're done. The wisdom of God is revelation. Big difference there, isn't there? Okay, and it's a mystery because it's only unfolded to those he wants it unfolded to. Is this opening up anymore to you today? Okay. We had to come back here and get inside the lantern light and start. Let's take more steps. Okay, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. What's the next phrase say? Even the what? Well, why would wisdom be hidden? Huh? It has to be, well, let's go back to our verse that we spent so much time in Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Okay? He's talking about faith, which is revelation, and he's talking about that being our righteousness. Sister Dahlia, I am so sorry. Maybe Jennifer can help you out. Okay? Tu ayuda para su mama. Oh, bless your heart. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. Faith is only given by grace, right? By faith you are saved. By grace you are saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's a gift, right? Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. In other words, grace directs the faith. Can by looking at that sentence, would you say that's true? Does grace direct revelation? Sure does. Therefore it is of grace that it might be by faith. There is a faith that it might be by grace to the end. What? The promise might be sure to all the seed. That's the most loaded statement in the book of Romans, I think. He's going to get his revelation to his kid, and I'm going to make sure I get it because it's going to be by faith, by revelation, and that gets by grace, so I got to make it sure it goes to him, but not necessarily Satan's kids over here. I'm going to make sure my kids get what I give them. I'm going to make sure my kids. So here in the book of 1 Corinthians, he's saying, here is this faith. Here is this revelation. Here is the wisdom of God that works and operates inside of me to change me, to write his word in my mind and in my heart, showing me I'm under the blood of Jesus. Right? Do you need to know in this day, without any doubt, without anything, by the word of God, not by your own opinion, by the word of God, that you are under the blood? You have to know by the word. And here's how you know in these things, okay? But we speak wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, Romans 4:16, which God ordained before the world, what? Finish it. Unto what? Our what? What does that mean? What is this wisdom that God foreordained before the world began that he's going to give only to those by revelation, only to those that he says who are perfect, okay? And you're only perfect in Christ, and you're only perfect because you were in him before the foundation of the world. You're only perfect because he is in you, and that seed's there, right? So this is something that only goes to the bride of Jesus Christ. It doesn't go to anybody else. And here is something that is going to work the full work of God in them that nothing else will work. And it's this word wisdom, and it's going to be you in the image of Jesus. It's going to be you that looks like him, because he's going to look back on you like we were trying to say last week, look at my work. That's what I've been trying to get you in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 and verse 12. His grace will be glorified, that you will be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Look at that. You know, listen to me. What has Satan perverted? A false worship, right? Oh, we got smoke, we got lights, we got sound equipment that would fill up this whole room. We got millions of dollars of equipment. We got a stage, we got a show, we got worship leaders, and they're all dressed sexy to attract you and all of these kinds of things like this. And how can you resist us? And he says, it's not my word, I resist you. Okay? And all the time, that's not what he's looking for. All the time, he says, all I want to see is my word in you, that I see me. And I look and I say, oh, look at that. Did you ever see something as beautiful as that? And that's why so many times over the years, I've spent time with looking at the life of Brother Branham, how the angel dealt with him. Okay? Because it was the divine architect. It was the divine builder. It was the divine artist, and it was the divine parent. And I said, oh, okay? When God wants to thrill a man and skill a man, and that all the world will wonder, watch his methods, watch his ways, how he hammers and hurts him and with royal blows converts him into frail shapes of clay. Only God understands as he lifts beseeching hands. Can't you see that? Can't you see that in the prophets? Can't you see that in Brother Branham's life? Huh? How he hammered him and hurt him and no, but look what I got. Huh? Look at that. Look at that reflection of me. Look at, I got a man, I got a vessel who says, you know, unless I speak, he's not going to speak. He learned too well. He paid the price. I hammered him and hurt him. But finally he said, no longer, Father. Unless you say it, I'm not going to speak it. Oh, Brother Branham, here's some money. I'm still not going to speak it. Here's $1 million. I'm still not going to speak it. Here's a car. Yeah. Here's an association with it. No, listen, forget it. I can't speak unless he speaks. And then I can't do unless he does. It's got to be him. So there's holiness there, isn't there? And here is this beautiful thing of wisdom. God doing. God building his habitation. And that's exactly what he wants to do in you. And this is how he's going to do it. He's doing it in things that can't be given to everybody. Oh, Matthew 13. Unto you is given to know the hidden mysteries of God, but not unto them. Mm-hmm. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Well, that sounds like you're preaching exclusivity, doesn't it? That sounds like you're drawing the circle pretty small there, Hoffman. Who wants a God like that? Who wants a God that's judgmental? Who wants a God that says, I don't accept everybody? My God accepts everybody. My God loves everybody. Your God, you know. Who wants your God? I want the God of the Bible. I want the God of his word. Otherwise, they just create their own, don't they? Mm-hmm. Well, my Jesus, yeah, I know. But my Jesus loves everybody. My Jesus accepts everybody. Mine does too. But he loves you so much, he won't let you stay that way. Yeah. My Jesus has transforming power. My Jesus will make you into the Word of God. Okay. You with me?
Amen.
Okay. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. This is the thing that he has given, that Paul prays for it to the Colossians, that it has to be there. That is going to be working in your life, that your walk will be pleasing unto God, and that you will be increasing, growing, changing into something different every day. And here it is that's been totally turned down even by the message people, and nobody's seen it until now, but now's the time. So if now's the time, hey, Lord, you have this for me. I'm perfect under the blood, which always takes me back again, one more point. To Hebrews 10:14, by one offering he hath perfected forever them who are constantly being sanctified. It seems like he only takes those who are truly perfected under the blood of Jesus Christ, those who are really under the blood of the covenant, those to whom he is actually and really and literally inscribing himself here and there. He's inscribing himself in you, right? He's writing his word there, and that's him. Now, he's taking only those people. Now, these people, not those. I'm going to take these people, and I'm going to keep growing them and sanctifying them. Now, what did we learn last week? Holiness, excuse me, is only of the Lord. Brother Branham, do you believe in holiness? Yes, but I don't have any. Neither do I, neither do you. And if you try to make up rules and say, if I follow these things and don't do this, oh, I got a longer list of don'ts than you do. Come on. True or not true? And my if my list of don'ts is bigger than yours, I'm holier than you. And miss the whole thing and cause damnation to themselves because it's not by revelation, it's not by the word. Okay? So holiness is working something out inside of me, him. And it's those people I'm going to be under the blood, where my blood of my covenant is, where I'm writing, where I'm inscribing myself, I'm going to take them, I'm going to sanctify them continually. It's my work. He's glorified in his work. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor. But he's building, and he's doing this through his wisdom. Okay. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Alpha and Omega. Right? Now they've crucified him again today because they don't know his wisdom. But as it was written, I hath not seen nor ear heard nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Everybody's looking to heaven there. Everybody's looking for some la-la place. They're good. Oh, honestly, the concepts you hear at funerals. Oh, I can see, you know, we heard this. Uncle so-and-so and brother so-and-so are up there on a cloud with their martini buckets and having a, you know, or playing their rounds of, no, honestly, people think this way. You've seen it and I've seen it. That's heaven to them. But here he's saying, here's the glory of the Lord. No mind has seen. Nobody has imagined it. What? There's another Jesus. There's another Jesus. There's another Jesus. The seed fell into the ground. It sprouted. It came. It's dying. Oh, something's wrong. No, it's not dying. The life went into the seed. Oh, what is that seed? Well, you know, let's examine that seed. Well, what's the difference between that seed and the seed that I planted? Well, that looks exactly like it. Jesus brought tenfold Jesus, a hundredfold Jesus, right? And there's the thing that they fail to see and refuse to see in this day. Okay, verse 10. But God hath revealed him to us by his Spirit. That's what they don't see. Not will reveal, not will be shown, God hath revealed. So it's already in those that are perfect, those who are given the hidden wisdom of God, they already see what God wants done. And the bride has this secret. She knows what he wants done with the word, and nobody else knows. What do you want done with the word? Oh, believe it. What else? Well, there is nothing else. Oh, yeah, there is. What? Who ever heard of such a thing? Well, I want it manifested. What? How can that happen? It can't except through him, but that's what he's here doing. Okay? But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches the deep things of God. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things save the Spirit of him which is in him? Even so the things God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, thank you, Jesus, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know what? Things that are what? Thank you, Jesus. Freely given to you. Which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. So the Holy Ghost, what he teaches is the wisdom of God. Comparing what? Spiritual things with spiritual. There you go. Okay. So we ask the question, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the Spirit of God in the Word of God that brings the power of God to fulfill the will of God in you. Now, I'm going to go, we went to Mark 6, we went to, I'm going to go into the Old Testament. And I'm going to be looking because what he does in building the tabernacle in the temple is all typed about you. Okay? So here in Exodus, remember from last week one more time, he inhabits that which he creates. When the tabernacle was finished, he came down, because whose design was it? Okay, what part of it was his? Every detail of it. Men did it. Men do it. We have prophets. We got fivefold ministry. They do it. But if they are channels of the Holy Spirit and get themselves out of the way, then it's him doing it. Then he will build. Now, here in these things, again, it's all types. I'm going to read a couple quotes here. Just, they're really good, actually. This is from The Sixfold Purpose of Daniel. God came into the sanctuary that he was anointed and was given over to him for the people to come to worship. So to anoint not thy holy place, but to anoint the most holy place. Listen to this. The most holy place, and the anointing will be upon the new Jerusalem that descends from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride. Listen to this word, adorned, because that's what we're going to be talking about a lot. For her husband, the anointing will be on them. So what you see, what you read, is all about you. Okay? When you read in the Old Testament, Moses giving instructions to build the tabernacle, he says in Hebrews 8 again, let's talk about these are heavenly things. So here's from the next... Oh, sometimes it does that. Let me go back. It copied one. Anyway, he has one that's even more potent, and I'll bring it up again next week. My point is what he did in all the details, because he did it, he inhabited it. Because it is his work in you, he will inhabit your work. Okay? Wisdom is the Spirit of God and the Word of God that brings the power of God in that Word to fulfill his will. That's what he's doing. That's what he's done in this day. That's what he needs to do in me. And that's what he needs to do in you. So in Exodus, let's go back to Exodus 28. And Moses is on the mountain. And this is instructions that Moses is up on the mountain. He's given to him telling the people. Now, the first thing that he tells them, of course, and I think it's verse chapter 24 and 25. You can go to 25 just for a second. And the Lord spake unto Moses, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth willingly of with his heart, take my offering. Now there you go. You have to offer yourself. Offer the Lord yourself. Here I am. Take me, use me, build your temple. And this shall be an offering which you will take of them, silver and brass and blue and purple. You know, I think it's incredibly interesting. What are God's colors? Then his temple. Blue and what? Purple and red. Scarlet. I've always wondered, wouldn't it be nice to have some kind of a sanctuary that would show his colors? I don't even know how you'd do it. But something to pray about. So, yeah. But he chose those because they all represent things of him and his nature and his character. Derek, you're my... Huh?
The white linen as well.
That's but the room itself. And the ephod and everything, yes, white was mixed in there. Absolutely. And the high priest that was decked out in all kinds of colors when on the Day of Atonement was only in white. And it was in linen, and he said, don't bring anything into the temple that makes you sweat. Why did he say that? Your work is an abomination to me. It's my work. That's why it was so much linen, okay? It's all the way through the scriptures. Verse 8 of verse 25, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. So that was the purpose. Let's go to 28. Okay, verse 3. Verse 2, and thou shalt make holy garments. Let's take one. Take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and Eleazar, Ithamar and Aaron's sons, and thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, and for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto those who are what? Wise-hearted, whom I have what? Isn't that interesting? It's God's, I'm going to fill you to do something that is necessary to be done, but it's me doing it, but it's your hands. So, but it's my ideas, it's my plan, it's my ways, it's my thoughts, and I'm going to help you do something that you didn't know you could do. Okay? And thou shalt speak unto all the wise-hearted, unto whom I am filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they shall make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister in the priest's office. Now, that's what it was. These quotes. All of these are type of heavenly things, and all of these things, well, why Aaron? Because the high priest is the one that goes in the presence of God and comes out for the people. And if God accepts him, then he accepts everybody. So that happened, as we know, in Hebrews chapter 9. He says Christ entered into the not the whole most holy place on earth, but into the presence of God for us. Hebrews 9, right? Okay, and so he comes out, and what does he bring with him? He brings the wisdom of God. He brings the power of God, the life of God. And the power of God, and he brings that all out of the holy, most holy place in heaven and comes down upon you and puts it on you. And all of a sudden, here you are adorned in him, and here you are. So all of these things are referring to things that are going on in heavenly places, and all of them are about you and things he is doing and wants to do and doing in you, and he's doing it through his wisdom, okay? Now... Here's some things that I'm thinking about here. Number one, in these verses, God is taking men and women that have been slaves for 400 years, right? Okay? To do something they have never been done or never been taught. So they all of a sudden, he says, you're going to be doing something you didn't even know you could do. And here we are in the Spirit, and Brother Branham takes this. He says he's looking for some people he can take into the unknown in the spiritual places and listen to him and do things with him and do things in them that they never thought possible. And there's you. So here all of these things are types and figures of things that are going on in heavenly places between the Spirit of God and you, you, each individual, right? So here he's taking people. Again, they've been slaves. What do they know? Make bricks, carry burdens, get beaten, right? Hard, grueling lives, okay? Number two, until God filled them with his wisdom, they didn't even know they had the ability to do these works. It was his wisdom. I'm going to put this in you. Ah, I can do something. I can do what he asked me to do. I didn't even know I could do it. Well, some of that stuff was very intricate. I want you all to write this down, and I want you to go study it. It's a fabulous site on the internet, Temple Institute. Derek's probably been there 100 times. Isn't that a great place? And this is by Jews for Jews, by their rabbis and ancient rabbis and studies of every single thing of the word. It's a phenomenal source. In there, there's movies, short video clips of people doing different things. There's a museum, you guys, you gotta go there. It's in Jerusalem, it's in the old city. Temple Institute Museum. And in here, there's a lady that was born in Italy who is now in Jerusalem. Long story. And she is a weaver of the most intricate weaving of anybody in the whole world, they say. And she has all of these patterns and all of these intricate and this huge looms with, I think, 19 or some different kinds of threads. And this one goes in the background and this comes in the forefront. And this is these patterns, these incredible patterns are created. And these are making the garments for the priests so that when they're planning the temple, it'll all be ready to go. And it's all going on. But templeinstitute.org, look it up. It's just a wealth of stuff there. So here, until God filled them with the wisdom, they didn't even know they had the ability to do these wonderful works. Number three, each of these things that God instructed them to create was representing something in eternal realm. Eternal, always remember, this is something eternal. This is not this for this. It's not the temple for the temple. We're not called to the existing Jerusalem. That's in bondage, right? To the new Jerusalem, we're thinking of heavenly things going on. What is the Spirit doing in me? And what does this type, okay? Number four, each item was necessary for establishing the temple designed by God. Each single intricate piece had its place and had its thing. And every single little thing God does in you has its place and has its purpose, right? Every little thing. Women, don't cut your hair. Women wear skirts. Women, make sure they're below your knee. Women, dress modestly. Men, right? Are you being influenced from above or from above? It's men and their doctrine. Men, did you quit smoking? Did you quit drinking? Did you quit gambling? Did you do these things? Men, is your heart consecrated to God? Is your heart a place where the word of God can be received? So, number five, everything, even though I don't think they understood what they were doing or the significance and the weight of what they were doing at that time, they were actually building a place where their connection with God would happen. Okay, so it is so interesting because in Jewish thought, every village, every city has synagogues. And in those synagogues, they can read the Torah, they can read the Talmud, they can read the Hebrew writings, they can pray, they can talk about God, but that's it. They cannot sacrifice, they cannot make an atonement. That has to happen in Jerusalem. So I've heard one Jew put it this way, which was very striking to me. In all of the world, the synagogues have their place, and they all have a horizontal relationship, Jew being Judaism and building the Judaism and changing, bringing up the next generation in the Torahs and the and those things. But only one place in the world does that direction go from horizontal to vertical, and that's in Jerusalem, and that's in the tabernacle, and that's in the temple. So that's why it is so critical. It is there where all of their talk about God, they can hear from God when God comes down to commune with him there. So the temple is critical. And think of it. That's you. Go back and read all he says about the New Jerusalem, okay? So here are these things, and it's very, very incredible. So here is the garments, okay? Now, it's very, very interesting because in Judaism, there's a reality, according to Scripture, that it is the garment you're wearing that makes you the what you do. You cannot be a priest without these garments. It's the garments that make you a priest. So that's when in the New Testament, Romans chapter 13 says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And then what does it say in Revelation 21? There's the New Jerusalem. What is she? She's adorned as a bride for her husband. Revelation 19, there's the bride, and to her was granted that she could be arrayed in what?
Fine
what? Why linen? That's exactly what the high priest wrote. Isn't that interesting? What kind of linen? Pure white linen, which is what? The righteousness, the revelation, the wisdom, the hidden mystery. She's dressed in those things. So all of these things are types of what God is doing in heavenly places and doing now in you. So Leviticus 16, 23 and 24, and Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his flesh in water in the holy place and put on the garments and come forth and offer burnt offerings and the burnt offerings to the people and make an atonement. He can't come out of the holy place and even go out of the tabernacle. He would be defiled. And listen, brothers and sisters, what is it saying? It is this hidden mystery, the mystery ordained before the world began for your glory. Okay, Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of grace. That is of that faith, that it might be by grace. Or is grace that it might be by faith to the promise assured to all the seed. Do you see? It's what he puts on you by his revelation, writing his word, the blood of Jesus Christ. It's his word. Do you see it all tied together? It's what he puts in you that makes you bride, makes you what? And this is all a type of you. Listen to this in Ezekiel chapter 42, verse 14. Oh, goodness. And when the priests enter therein, they shall not go out of the holy place into the inner court, into the outer court. But they shall lay their garments wherein they minister, for they are holy, and they shall put on other garments and shall approach to those things which are for the people. Those garments, in fact, they said they didn't even wash them. So you can imagine, and another thing about them, the garments are seamless. And each thread has to have six strands in it, according to something in here, in the book of Leviticus. So every single strand, a thread, has six strands in it. There's white, there's blue, there's purple, and there's scarlet, and they're all typing things of God, and they're all woven together in perfect harmony to bring out the picture of God. And it's those, once they're soiled or once they're thing, they're put in a place inside the temple side chambers, never to be touched again, okay? And then new ones made. And can you imagine the work? Oh, what's what I was going to say? They're seamless. Yeah. What did Jesus? What did it say about Jesus' robe? Yeah. Seamless. Okay? There's our high priest. Now, Exodus, this is a... write this down, please. Ezekiel chapter 44, 15 through 19. But the priests and the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary, when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister to me. Remember in Exodus 32, it was the Levites. Who's on the Lord's side? Levites say, we are. And God chose them to be his ministers ever since then. Okay, because they made their stand. They shall come near to me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God, and they shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister to me and to keep my charge. Verse 17, and it shall come to pass that when they enter into the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, shall come upon them, and they shall minister in the gates of the inner court within. And they shall have linen bonnets upon their head and linen breeches upon their loins, and they shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat. No work. None of your own. It has to be all mine. Okay? No labor. And when they go forth, verse 19, can you read it out loud with me? You got your Bibles open? And when they go forth into the utter court, even to the utter court of the people, they shall not put off their garments where they ministered and lay them in the holy chambers, and they shall put on other garments. Listen, they shall not sanctify the people with their garments. Okay? You will not throw your pearls before swine. Correct? You are dressed in a revelation. This is the token. When I see the blood, when I see the word over you, when I see the word written here, the blood of the covenant, when I see me, when I see all that I am, I will pass over you. It's all through the scriptures, brothers and sisters. And therefore, it was what they wore. It was your revelation that is the critical thing. And don't let the devil talk you out of that. There's nothing, Brother Branham tells us that, nothing more needed in the church than the revelation. His word opened up to you, his Holy Spirit. And without that, and if they had done that, they would sanctify the people. Think of that. There we go again, the holiness. Should we go back to where we were last week? Holiness. What he does, what he is holy. His word is holy. The word that he tells you to put on is holy. His revelation is holy. His word is holy. His wisdom is holy. The power of his resurrection. And he said, you cannot go out and give that to others. Think of the wise bride. Come on. What did he tell them? Give it to others. I can't. And here's the thing. I read a quote one time, Brother Branham says, when Jesus is wiping away all tears, what are they crying about? All the ones that they would try to bring in and wouldn't come. Breaks your heart, it breaks me. So many people that you love, so many people that you care about, so many, hey, listen, it's here, and they won't read it. They'll listen to their Baptist preacher or their covenant preacher or whatever they got, their Lutheran, their Catholic. But do you think they'll read this? You know? Oh, please, please open it. You know, I listened to Brother Tom DeFederico, you know, down in Hastings. He cries. He cries. Brother Don, they won't read it. Brother Don, I keep pointing them to the word and they won't read it. Brother Brown, I give them little Bibles, I give them books, and they won't read it, Brother Don. He says, what can I do? And he's sobbing sometimes. And there's the heart of God. But you got something that you're wearing. You have something, a revelation of Jesus Christ that is more precious than anything in this world. Okay, musicians, come. We'll continue. Yeah. We'll keep. Is this opening up a little more to you now? You understand what, where we're at, why we're at, where we're at? Oh, my goodness. And Brother Branham, go back to those 63 messages after the seals are open and the Bible becomes a new book, and watch where he's trying to take us. He's trying to take us into these heavenly places. You know what? They never went. How many years has it been? Huh? They're still gathering under ministries and building buildings and doing things. And, you know, let's gather around this man. Let's gather around Jesus. Let's gather around God. Let's not gather around a ministry. Let's point to Jesus. Let's point to the Lord God. Let's listen to him. Let's hear, receive what he's going to give us. Oh, you know, get on your knees today. You know what? He might give you out of that hidden mystery today. He might give you an adornment that he wants you to wear. And pretty soon, they see the bride. And she's adorned as a bride for her husband. And what does she look like? She looks like him. Huh? And her glory is the glory of God. And she's like jasper to look upon. And you look in Revelation 4, and he is to look up and like jasper. In Revelation 21, and she is like jasper. He's like jasper. She's like jasper. He's the glory of God. She's the glory of God. She is him. And all the while, the Holy Spirit has been working his work in her to make him, and then there's his holiness that he can inhabit. And there's his holiness that he can come down, and it's his work. And it's his doing, and it's his wisdom, and it's his mind, and it's his doing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All right. I know these guys, they just got something for us. Okay. Do you love all of our musicians? We love you guys. God bless you richly. Oh, yes. That, I think that's in the inserts, isn't it? Excuse me? 53? Would you stand with me? Okay, let's do that again. where are we? Ah! Let's all sing the same song. How's that? Okay, did we ever get to the chorus? Did we sing the chorus? Well, let's sing the chorus. Okay. Word of God, ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Let the word. Words of our faith manifested to this age, hallelujah, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ, holy words.
words long preserved. Long preserved for our walk in the world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart. Word of God ever true. Word of God changing me. Changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God in. Oh, Jesus. Don't you love him? Don't you love what he's doing? Huh? And how humbled we are. You know, Brother Branham always said, but bow our heads to the ground, to the dust from what we're taking. You feel so unworthy, so undeserving, constantly, and yet your heart just swells with gratitude, with love to him, with thanksgiving. And Lord, you just keep on doing it. You just keep opening your word. You just keep changing me. You keep working in me, you know? I was going to tell you this at the beginning. Listen, brothers and sisters, this is a hard season. Week after week, I hear brother after brother say, oh, the trials, oh, the weariness, oh, the battles. They're relentless, aren't they? I'm going to tell you something. Look around you. Look out in the world. Who do you see battling? Who do you see fighting against the enemy? If God put it inside of you to fight, praise him all day and all night. Because to the others in the world, there's no resistance. Oh, he's speaking me to be a fur baby. Oh, maybe I'm a girl. Oh, maybe I'm a boy. I don't know what I am. Maybe I'll change from hour to hour. And no, there's how many pronouns? Can't even make it up. You know, I'm non-binary, I'm this, I'm that, you know? Do they fight? Do they, Satan, you who speak, look at Brother Branham, he's preaching one time and he says, Satan, you who are speaking to my conscience, remember him saying that? I resist you. Don't you love that? And we have to do the same thing, but look inside of you and look at the fight that's going on and look at the stand. It's him in you, working in you to do that fight, brothers and sisters. Thank him for it. Because you don't see it anywhere. All you see is, oh, well, that's an idea. Amazing. Oh, yeah, there's another idea. Oh, this one's floating by here. And there's enough things waving in this unseen world or the fourth dimension that'll go through your brain that if you're not realize that what can happen, it can make you think, I'm going crazy. Right? And you don't realize the dark mass of gaiety thing that's going on here. You're just trying to be influenced from other dimensions. Say no to the below dimensions and say yes to the above. Let's sing that chorus one more time. Word of God, ever true. Word of God. Ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with amen. Would you bow with me, Heavenly Father? We are here before you, and we have felt it, we have seen it, we have experienced it. You writing your word in our hearts and in our minds. It's you. And say, Lord, you're inscribing yourself in us. And giving us the adornments to wear of yourself, your revelation. It's more precious than life to us, Lord. And we know from your word that, Lord, you inhabit that which you create. And it's for your glory. Be glorified in us as we yield and submit and bow ourselves down and say, not me,
Christ in me, the hope of glory. And say, like Paul said, I have one desire, that Christ might be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death, makes no difference to me, just as long as he's magnified here in this flesh. Hear our prayer, Father, because that's ours also. We commit ourselves now into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.